When you're sharing the gospel with someone, the words of the Bible itself can be much more persuasive than human reasoning. Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
The Word of God is powerful enough on its own to break down all human resistance and opposition.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest. For June 9th, 2025, I'm Tana Gresh. Nancy's been challenging us to read the Bible every day. If you do, it'll have a big effect on your life. And to get you started on a good footing, the Revive Our Hearts team has come up with a 30-day Bible reading challenge. You'll find more information about the Bible reading challenge at a link in the transcript of this program at reviveourhearts.com or on the Revive Our Hearts app. Now, Nancy's not prescribing how much time or how many verses you read. Just commit to spend some time in God's Word and in prayer daily. As part of our current series, The Book of Books, we'll get fresh perspective on the ability of the Bible to change lives.
Martin Luther had this to say about the Word of God. He said, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. It has feet. It runs after me." I love that description. What a great picture of the Word of God. It's alive. It speaks to me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. It has feet. It runs after me. We've been talking about the wonder of the Word of God, and we've seen that it's peerless, that it's pure, that it's precious and priceless. And today I want us to see that the Word of God is powerful. It's alive. It changes lives. It converts hearts. The Spirit of God can use the Word of God to do what no other book can do in changing lives. And as you read back over the history of the Christian church, you'll find person after person whose life was converted, transformed in dramatic ways by just the reading of the Word of God. I think of Augustine, one of the greatest theologians in the history of his church. He had spent his young years as a wild, immoral man. He broke the heart of his godly praying mother named Monica. But when he was 22 years old, running from God, having already wasted his life in so many ways, he heard a voice telling him, "Take up and read." He opened a Bible that he had with him, and his eyes fell onto a passage in Romans chapter 13 that confronted his wicked lifestyle, and he believed, he was converted, he repented, he became one of the greatest church fathers and theologians in the history of Christianity. Martin Luther, we just quoted, as a 20-year-old college student, he was first exposed to the Bible, which was a book that at that time was practically unknown. But he read it, and he kept reading it, and he kept reading it. And while his guilty conscience was plagued with the fact that he couldn't get right with God, he kept searching the Scripture. As a monk, he was trying to get right with God, trying to earn God's favor. But at one point, the words of the prophet Habakkuk began to ring in his ears, "The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith." And then when he came to the book of Romans, he realized it was faith in Jesus, faith in Christ that was what alone could save him from his sins. He believed, he was converted, and out of that truth, justification by faith in Christ alone, came the Reformation. All of our lives have been impacted as a result. I think of John Wesley, one of the men greatly used of God in the First Great Awakening, British evangelist. Though he was a religious man in his upbringing, he didn't know God. He didn't have a personal relationship with God. And the day came, May the 24th, 1738, when as a seeking man, seeking for the Lord, he went to a meeting and he heard someone read Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle of Romans. And he says, "My heart was strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and had saved me from the law of sin and death." It was the reading of the Word that God used to bring about the conversion of John Wesley. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in the history of the church, when he was 15 years old, on a snowy day, he stepped into a primitive Methodist church, January of 1850, and he heard a preacher whose name I don't even know say a few simple things about one text. Here was the text: "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The preacher looked directly at young Charles Spurgeon and told him that he would be miserable all of his life if he failed to look to Jesus for salvation. Well, Charles Spurgeon looked. He believed. He was converted, became one of the greatest preachers in Christian history, and for over 30 years preached to 10,000 people every Sunday in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. His sermons have been published in more than 60 volumes. Where did it start for him? With the power of a single text. The Word of God is what was used to bring about his conversion. I think about my own mother. She was raised in a religious family, but she didn't know the Lord. Her parents didn't know the Lord. And when she was a senior in high school, she took an elective course in the Bible. They had those in those days in public schools. It was a public school. And as a result of a Christian teacher getting these students to read the Word of God, my mother believed. She was converted. And my life today, knowing Christ, is the fruit of what God did in her life through that exposure to the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful enough on its own to break down all human resistance and opposition. Jeremiah chapter 23, God says, "Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" The Word of God is powerful. It can take the hardest heart and break it down, bring it into submission. And we think we need all kinds of things, plus the Word of God, to change people's lives today. And so many of our church programs have so many activities and so many efforts to get people to change their lives. And we've got to have great, big, impressive programs and music and dramas and messages and great orators and communicators. And you know what? We've lost confidence in the power of the Word of God to transform people's lives. One of the greatest stories I've ever heard along that line is told by Dr. John MacArthur in his book called Our Sufficiency in Christ. And I want to read the stories. I've shared it with women before. They have told me that it's been so meaningful to them. So let me just read about this exchange. Pastor MacArthur says, "Not long ago, a man I had never met before walked into my office and said, 'I need help. I feel strange coming to you because I'm not even a Christian. I'm Jewish. Until a few years ago, I had never even been in a church. But I need help from someone, so I decided to talk to you.' I assured him," Dr. MacArthur says, "that I would do my best to help him. I asked him to sit down and explain what was troubling him. The conversation went something like this. 'I've been divorced twice,' he said, "and now I'm living with a woman who is my lover. I don't even like her, but I haven't got the courage to leave her and go back to my second wife." He continued, "I'm a medical doctor. Worse, I'm an abortionist. I kill babies for a living. Last year in my clinic, we did $9 million worth of abortions. I don't do only therapeutic abortions. I do abortions for any reason. And if a woman doesn't have a reason, I give her a reason. 6 weeks ago," the doctor said, "I came to Grace Community Church on a Sunday morning, and I've been coming every week since. Last week, you preached a message called 'Delivered to Satan.' If there was ever anyone on earth who was delivered to Satan, it's me. I know I'm doomed to hell because of what I've done. I'm absolutely miserable and unhappy. I'm continually seeing a psychoanalyst, and I'm not getting any help at all. I can't stand the guilt of all this. I don't know what to do about it. Can you help me?" Dr. MacArthur says, "I said to him, 'No, I can't help you.' He looked at me startled. Sheer desperation was evident in his face. I let it sink in. Then I said, 'But I know someone who can help you, Jesus Christ.' He said, 'Sadly, but I don't know who he is. I've been taught all my life not to believe in him.' I said, 'Would you like to know who Jesus Christ is?' He said, 'I would, if he can help me.' Dr. MacArthur said, 'Here's what I want you to do.' I reached over and took a Bible off my desk and opened it to the Gospel of John. I said, 'I want you to take this book home and read this part called the Gospel of John. I want you to keep reading until you know who Jesus Christ is. Then call me again.' Later that week, I was recounting the incident," Dr. MacArthur says, "for the pastor of another church. He said, 'Is that all you gave him? Just the Gospel of John? Why didn't you give him some help, some tapes, some questions to answer, something? Just the Bible?' I said, 'Don't worry. The Bible is like a lion. You don't need to defend it. Just open the door and let it out. It'll take care of itself. If his heart is open at all, the Bible can do more to reach him, Dr. MacArthur said, than I could possibly do with reams of other study material. What could I possibly give him that's more powerful than Scripture itself? The next Friday, I received a telephone call. The doctor wanted to see me again. We made an appointment. He showed up precisely on time, came into the office, walked past me as if I weren't there, sat on the couch, dropped the Bible beside him, and said, I know who he is. I said, you do? He said, yes, I do. Who is he? I asked. I'll tell you one thing, he's not just a man. I said, really? Who is he? He's God, he said with finality. You, a Jew, are telling me that Jesus Christ is God? I asked. How do you know that? He said, it's clear. It's right there in the Gospel of John. What convinced you? I asked. Look at the words he said, and look at the things he did. No one could say and do those things unless he was God. He was echoing the Apostle John's thesis perfectly. I nodded enthusiastically. He was on a roll. Do you know what else he did? He rose from the dead. They buried him, and 3 days later, he came back from the dead. That proves he's God, doesn't it? God himself came into this world. I asked him, do you know why he came? Yes, he came to die for my sins. How do you know that? I asked. Because I like John so well, I read Romans. And as soon as I clean up my life, I'm going to become a Christian. I said, that's the wrong approach. Receive him as your Lord and Savior now, and let him clean up your life. Then I asked the man, what would such a decision mean in your career? Well, he said, I spent this afternoon writing my resignation letter to the abortion clinic. When I get out of here, I'm going to call my second wife and bring her to church with me. And he did. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God is alive, Hebrews tells us. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, so often today in our efforts to reach people, we underestimate the power of the Word of God. And when we do, we're forced to rely on our human efforts, our ability to talk, to impress, our strategies, our resources, and our methods. You know, those things can be helpful, but they're no replacement for the power of that great lion, the Word of God.
Do you tend to lean on your own strength or on God's Word? Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is in a series called The Book of Books. She'll be right back. Now, not only do we want to inspire you to get into God's Word more consistently, we also want to put you in touch with resources that will help you study, including the upcoming True Woman Conference in the fall. It'll be all about God's Word. And if you visit reviveourhearts.com and look for the transcript of today's program, you'll find more links to resources that are helpful as you get into God's Word and as His Word gets into you. Now, Nancy's back, continuing in the series, The Book of Books.
Many of you will remember the name Cecil B. DeMille. You remember him as the man who made the movie, The Ten Commandments. Here's what Cecil DeMille had to say about the Word of God. He said, after more than 60 years of almost daily reading of the Bible, I never fail to find it always new and marvelously in tune with the changing needs of every day. We've been looking at the wonder of the Word of God, and we've seen that the Word of God is powerful. It can transform lives. It's just like a lion. You just need to let it out of its cage and it will do its work. We've seen that it's peerless. It's unique. There's no other book like it. And we've seen that it's priceless. It's precious. It's our greatest treasure. And it's pure. Every word of God is pure. I want us to see today that the Word of God is intensely practical. Intensely practical. As Cecil B. DeMille said, it's always new and it's marvelously in tune with the changing needs of every day. And over the next moments, I just want to highlight some of the things that the Word of God does for us in a practical way. Now, I say it does it for us, but if you're not reading the Word of God, then it's not going to be doing these things for you. And that's why all this week and last, we're challenging our listeners to take a 30-day challenge to make a commitment that they will spend some time every day over the next 30 days reading the Word of God. not just to check it off their to-do list, but as an honest effort and attempt to get to know God in a more personal way. And you'll find as you get to know Him that you want to know Him better. The more you read the Word of God, the greater will be your hunger for the Word of God. So what will the Word of God do in our lives if we're reading it and we're letting it have its way in our lives? Well, the Word of God communicates. It communicates who God is. It communicates His heart, His ways, His will. If you want to get to know God, you need to find His communication about Himself, and that's the Scripture. It gives us wisdom about every area of life. It communicates God's heart about relationships, about friendships, about marriage, about parenting, about finances, about morals, about eating. Every area of life, the practical areas of life, we find communication of God's heart and His wisdom in the Word of God. And then the Word of God corrects us. According to 1 Timothy 3, it reproves us. It shows us where we're wrong. It's like somebody looking at their face in a mirror. If they want to see where the dirt is on their face, they look in a mirror and they can see, this is where you got that smudge. Now then they need to do something about it. But first the Word of God will show us where the smudges are, where the marks are, where the dirt is, where we're off the track, where we need to be corrected. And then the Word of God cleanses our lives. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Here's how, by keeping it according to God's Word. The Word of God purifies us. Jesus said, you are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you. John chapter 15, verse 3. And John 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed to His Heavenly Father and He said, oh God, would you sanctify or cleanse them by your truth? Your Word is truth. It's the Word of God that purifies my heart. And when I read this book, many, many days I pray, oh Lord, would you wash me in the water of your Word? Purify my heart with your Word. It's the Christian's bar of soap. It's where we get freedom from guilt. It cleanses us. The Word of God comforts us. And I can't tell you how many times I have been at a point of grieving, point of enormous loss or sadness in my life, circumstances that could not be changed, the deaths, multiple deaths of people who've been close to me, family members. And I've gone to the Word of God and I found encouragement and comfort and grace to help me at my time of need. God has used His Word to be like a spiritual ICU at those times when I felt like I could hardly breathe, to comfort my distraught heart. God's Word gives counsel. It counsels our hearts. It gives us direction. It's a roadmap for life. I could not get through life without the counsel that I get from the Word of God. And so many times, day after day, I need wisdom. I need wisdom in matters related to revive our hearts and what staff members we need and what programs we ought to be airing and what the Lord wants me to teach next. I need wisdom in dealing with relationships within my own family. I need wisdom to know how to make decisions that affect my life and our ministry. So I go to the Word of God and I say, Lord, would you counsel me according to your Word? And He does. He gives light to my path. He gives insight. He gives understanding. He counsels my heart. He gives the truth, and that is what gives me counsel. And then the Word of God changes me. And I am so thankful for this because I need to be changed. Day after day, I need the Word of God to rescue me from myself and to transform me into the image of Christ. That's God's commitment to you and to me. If we're children of God, He's committed to making us like Jesus. But I look at my life and I think, oh, I am so far from being like Jesus. I see, now you only see me in here when we're recording, and you think, oh, she's such a godly woman. Some of you express that sort of thing, but you don't live with me. You don't know the battles of my flesh, the things I have to wrestle with, my tongue, my attitudes, my values, and how caught up and tripped up I can get, and I do get, in the things of this world. I want to be changed. I want to be different. I want to be like Jesus. And the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that as we gaze steadfastly into the face of Christ, seen in the Word of God, that we are transformed into His likeness. It's as we gaze upon him, as we fix our attention upon him. You become like the people you spend time with. You spend time with God in his word, and you'll find that you become more like Jesus. That's why Paul said to the Romans in chapter 12, don't let the world press you into its mold. Don't be like this world. Be a new and different person in all you think and do. And how will you do that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the word of God, it will change your thinking. It will make you a new and different person. And then you can prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God really is. Listen, the word of God communicates, it corrects, it cleanses, it comforts, it counsels, it changes our lives. I've watched the word of God changing my life just in recent days. I was facing a decision recently in relation to a deadline. I'd made a commitment to meet a deadline. And I got closer to the deadline and I found out it was going to be extremely difficult for me to meet that deadline. And as we communicated with the people who would be affected by this, it became apparent that it was important to them that we keep this deadline. Well, I could have said, I can't keep it. But you know, as I was in the Word of God, I kept coming back to those passages like Psalm chapter 15 that says, if you want to live in the presence of God, you want to be right with God, then you will swear to your own hurt and change not. You keep your word. That's what the scripture says. I signed a contract. I can't break that contract. And God's word became the counsel that I needed. It was what has helped my heart to walk through this situation in a very practical way. I found myself recently in a conversation where I was sharing some information about other individuals, and I got home from that conversation, and God brought a passage to mind from Proverbs that says one of the things God hates, something that's an abomination to him, is those who sow discord among brethren. And I realized that what I had said about another believer was creating a wedge between the person I was talking to and the person I was talking about. I had sown discord. Now, I didn't intend to be destructive with my tongue. I wasn't trying to do anything ugly, but God's word showed me this is something God hates. I got on my knees before the Lord. I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. I repented. I don't want to be that kind of woman. God is using the scripture to change me day by day into the likeness of Jesus. The word of God is practical. You can't grow spiritually without it. You will live a spiritually defeated life without it. You can't know God without it. You can't know the gospel without the word of God. Paul talks in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. That's how we know the gospel. You can't know the will of God without the word of God. Don't come and tell me stories as I've heard people tell about God told me to leave my husband. I know God's leading me to borrow this money for something that is not a need. Don't tell me God told you that. You may have had a vision. You may have had a dream. You may have been up too late the night before and got confused. You may have hallucinations. But if it's not according to the word of God, don't tell me God told you that. You can't know the will of God if you don't know the word of God. You'll starve spiritually without the word of God. You can't overcome the enemy, Satan, without the word of God. It's our only offensive weapon that we are given in Ephesians chapter 6, where we're given the armor of God. The only offensive weapon we have to do battle against Satan is the word of God. That's how Jesus did battle against Satan. In the desert when he was tempted by Satan, Jesus kept coming back and saying, "It is written." That's your sword. That's what allows you to be victorious over the enemy. The word of God will help you to walk at liberty, in freedom. It will strengthen you, encourage you, protect you, feed you, sustain you, train you, and bless you. Day after day after day, the word of God is powerful, it is practical, it is life-changing. Father, help us to get into your word and let your word get into us so that it can change us into the image of Christ. And even on those days, and I know I have many of them myself, where it seems kind of like swallowing cardboard in some portions of the scripture that seem so hard to digest, And some days when our minds are wandering so far and we're so distracted and it's just tough to get through the reading, help us to persevere and to know that in time, this is the word that will change our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I've experienced that in my own life. Have you? We've been listening to the host of Revive Our Hearts, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, as she points us to the life-changing power of the Word of God. Earlier in today's episode, I mentioned the fact that our upcoming True Woman Conference will be all about the Bible. Our theme this year is The Word, Behold the Wonder. I hope you're already signed up to attend, either in person or online. All the details are found at this website, truewoman25.com. You can register there. Again, it's truewoman25.com. Now, you don't have to wait until October to behold the wonder of God's Word. Right now, here in June, is the time to see the Bible like never before. When you give a gift of any amount to Revive Our Hearts this month, we'll thank you with a premium bundle, a beautiful 5x7 art print called The Word, featuring a powerful reflection by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, and a book titled Fly Through the Bible, A Brief Introduction by Pastor Colin Smith. To make a donation and request these resources, visit reviveourhearts.com. Now, while you're there, check out other resources that will help you study the Bible in a deeper way. The links are in the transcript of this episode at reviveourhearts.com. And our phone number is 1-800-569-5959. As you make decisions, do you ever think about what the Bible says? Or are you more like this person?
If I was doing one thing and the Bible said to do something else, offhand I would probably follow my own beliefs. Because, I mean, the Bible is an important work, but it's not the answer for everything.
Tomorrow, Nancy will challenge you. Do you really trust the Bible? Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.